But what we're going to look at now is something that I've been kind of really thinking about for a while. Have you guys ever had a moment where, I don't know, like things are just made clear for you? Has anyone ever sort of had that moment? Maybe you didn't know what was coming, but things are actually just made really clear. It's funny, yesterday I went down to Francis Bean, this cafe down below my house, and excuse me, there's this chiropractor, and his name's Brett, and I always meet with him, and anyhow, we started hanging out, and I was like, man, let's start talking about Jesus, and so we did, and then we started actually reading the Word together, and anyhow, so yesterday I went to his office to go see if he was ready, if we were still on for our 12 o'clock, and he's like, hey man, come on in, I've been noticing some about the way you've been walking. And I'm like, oh, anyhow, I love him, but he's just like, I've been noticing something about your way you've been walking. And I was like, okay. And so he does these little tests, and I was like, I don't really know what you just determined there, but okay. And he goes, yeah, my suspicions are you know, they're definitely true. Hey, why don't you come over here and step on this scanner? And I'm like, okay, yeah, for sure. Like, I love this guy. He's a legend. So I'm like, yeah, let's do this. And so he goes, okay, why don't you take off your right arm shoe and your right sock and place your foot on this scanning machine. And I was like, okay. So I'm standing there and it does its little scan thing. And then I take that one off and he goes, okay, put your left up. And he puts it up there and, you know, it does its scan. And then he's looking, he's like, yes. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yes, yes. And I'm like, what were you thinking? And then he explains to me, he says, you know, Daniel, he says, you've got pronating feet, and I still don't get what that means. But what he said, he then, because he knows I'm stupid with this stuff, and so he's got a picture there that makes it really simple, all right? And so it's a picture of my body with, except I don't know how he got that, but anyhow, it's my skeleton, and it's out of whack. And so my right or left, I don't remember, hip is higher than the other. And he goes, you know what, Daniel, you've been doing? And he says, you have been, what you'll find, he said, is you're leaning on your right foot more. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And as I'm standing there, I'm doing it. And he goes, yeah, like you are right now. And I was like, oh, gosh. And anyhow, and then he goes, you know, this is going to have these effects on your body. This is going to have these effects on your knees. This is going to have these effects on your back. Guys, if you want to come in, there's room. So come on in. There's room up here. But anyhow, and so he shows me these things, and he gives me this evidence, and he prints out this thing, and he shows me what is wrong with my spine, what's wrong with my I don't know, my leveling or my balance in my body. But see, he's showing me that, and then it's up to me to make a decision with what he's given me. And he says, okay, so these are some things that you can do to fix that, or these are some things that we can do, you know, we can get inner souls and these kinds of things. And then he starts to tell me, true or not, what I can do to show or fix this problem. And I'll agree, I'll admit, yes, I do have bad knees. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe this is true. And so what he does is he presents me this information. And then he says, Daniel, it's up to you to make a decision with that information. And what I want to do tonight, guys, is I want to present to you information that I believe that the Lord has shown me. And I believe that the Lord has shown this to me so that we as young adults can make a decision from the information that we are shown. Because I think that it's so cool that the Bible gives us information. It leads us, it drags us to a point of decision. And it says, what are you going to do now? Are you going to keep walking in that? Are you going to keep walking with your spine all crooked? And maybe your knees are going to go and you're going to need to get knee reconstructions? I don't know. Or are you going to maybe look at a possible solution there? And what I want to do is I want to pray before we begin this. And because I really believe that this is such a pivotal thing for young adults to hear. Dear Lord God, I thank you, Father, that you are the revealer of truth. God, that you are the revealer of wisdom, Father. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal things to us tonight, Lord, that it wouldn't be me revealing them, Father, it would be you, Father. And God, I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And God, I pray that your truth would reign tonight, Father. I pray your truth would reign in our hearts. In your name we pray, amen. what I've been thinking a lot about, and you guys may have seen the video I put up on Facebook, but we're going to be, I've titled tonight, Rethink Everything. Rethink Everything. Sometimes we aren't even aware of the thoughts that we're thinking. Hey, would you agree with me? Like, seriously. Sometimes we're not even aware of what we're thinking. And what I would love to do tonight is to make us aware of thoughts that we might have, thoughts that are actually being projected onto us. And we need to rethink what we think about. So if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to take notes, we're going to be doing a little bit of drawing and stuff, but it's called Rethink, if I can spell correctly. Everything. Can you guys see that? How about now? Oh, how amazing is that? All right, let's go to the book of Philippians. We're going to go to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Now check this out. Paul is writing, and he's writing from prison, and he's talking about some things here, and I want us to look at them in chapter 2, verse 15. We'll start in 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So these are the words that we're actually going to look at and we're going to break down tonight. And the first thing that Paul says about us, about the world in which we live, what words does he use to describe it? Our generation. He says, you live in a crooked and twisted generation. And so our generation, you might think world when you think of that. And that's our world. What words did he use to describe it? Come on. What are they? Crooked. What other words? Perverse. There's another version. I like that. Perverse. Warped. Come on. So crooked, perverse, warped, depraved. Twisted. Now, let's think about these words. These words are really, really, really important. Paul does not say you live in a wicked generation. He says you live in a twisted. You live in a warped. You live in a distorted. You live in a perverse. You live in a depraved. You live in a crooked generation. Now, when I think about these words, those words mean that something became twisted. Would you agree? Paul's saying something became crooked. Something became depraved. Something became warped. And so he's saying you live in a warped or a twisted or a crooked generation. And I think that's important. The words that he uses there, I believe, are really, really, really important. And we're going to ask this question, how did this world, how did this generation that we live in become twisted and warped, depraved and crooked? But let's pause that and let's continue reading. And then Paul says, among whom you, so he's saying we're in this, but I'm just going to put us over here. And he says, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So how does Paul say that we should be living in this crooked, perverse, depraved, warped, and twisted generation? We should be shining as lights. Now, when I first read this, I was kind of like, okay, shining as lights, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill. I think that Paul is saying something really interesting here. Because he's saying that we are to be shining as lights. We are to be shining lights in this twisted and crooked generation. And how I see that, how I see him playing that out is, guys, we are to be lights that actually give light to others in this wicked and twisted and warped generation. People should, like, if you think about a light, if you go camping, you take a light, it's going to be dark, and you use that light, and it lights your way. See, I think we too often look at Jesus as being the light, and he is the light, but Paul is saying we are lights. And Paul is saying he's put us, he says, you are amidst, you are in the middle of it. You're in the middle of this twisted and warped and distorted generation, but you are there to be lights, not just so people gather to you. I think this is, Paul is saying this so much deeper. You are in their life to show them what truth is, because this generation has no idea. It's twisted. It's distorted. It's crooked. If you think about like a deceit, when you want to twist something, when you want to manipulate something, you do what? You tell it lies. And yet Paul says, but we're to be shining lights. We're to be shining lights. And I believe that we are to be shining lights to untwist the lies, untwist the deceit, untwist and make crooked paths straight. For that is what Jesus has done, and he did it in us. And then he said, I'm sending you into the world to be light. But how did we become a shining light? Paul answers that question, and we're going to look at how our generation became twisted and how we became shining lights. Paul says, we are shining lights because we hold fast to the word of life. He says, it's not actually you. You did nothing. But you hold fast and you believe and you are shaped. You are shaped by the word of life. You are shaped by the word of life. So how did this world, how did this generation become twisted? How did this generation become shaped? What is this generation shaped by? And I mean, we can think about this. What did God say in Deuteronomy? He said, I put before you life, and I put before you what? Death. How is this generation shaped? This generation is shaped by the word of death. If you think about the enemy in Genesis, we looked at this a while ago, but we looked at what the enemy did. He did what? He did this exact same thing that Paul's saying. He twisted the words of God. He twisted them. He deceived people. He made their straight path crooked. And they believed the words of death. And what do you guys think? Anyone, shout out. What do you think the words of death are that Adam and Eve believed in the garden? Anyone? Pardon? Yeah, shoot. Lies. Yes, exactly. They believed lies. And what were those lies? Anyone? That you can become God. The enemy said, man, what are you talking about? You're not going to die. God knows that the day you eat of this tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. See, they didn't trust God. The enemy uses, he does not want us to trust God. And the words of death are pretty much going to be, hey, be your own God. Why don't you decide what is good and what is evil? Why don't you decide? Why don't you just figure it out for yourself? You know what? You don't need God. And guys, what our generation's done is our generation's done a little bit of this. We'll take a little bit of life, we'll take a little bit of death, and we'll create this word called okay. Seriously, what we've done as the church, we've gone, oh, you know, we'll listen to a little bit of the world, we'll listen to a little bit of Jesus, and we'll say, that's okay. We'll make our own decision with what's good. We'll make our own decision with what's morality. We'll make our own decision with what's righteousness. We know. And we don't actually think, hey, hang on a second. Is that okay? Is that life? Because God did not say, hey, I put before you death and I put before you life and I put before you this new word called okay. It's just good. It's just enough. He said, I put before you life and I put before you death. And this world that we're living in, guys, like it or not, is shaped by the word of death. They've become twisted. I love what Paul says because it's almost like they don't know what's happening. What has happened in Genesis, it tells us when Adam sinned, and then Romans chapter 5, I call this the one man scenario. In Romans 5, Paul begins to tell us exactly what happened when Adam sinned, and it is massive. It's massive. He says, as sin came into the world through one man, in verse 12, death through sin. Death spread to all men. The judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. If one man trespass, death reigned through that one man. As one man's trespass led to condemnation for all men. For one man's disobedience made all men sinners. What Adam did in the garden was massive. He created this twisting. He created this perversion. He listened to the lies of the enemy. And because of that, we live in a world that is completely shaped by the word of death. But I love what God does with us is he says, I want to shape you by the word of life. I want to shape you by the word of life. And so there's us. And we have this question above our heads. What are the words of death? What are the words of life? And Paul says that we live in the midst of a crooked, perverse, and wicked generation. But then we have this regeneration that happens within us, and we have this Savior who dies on the cross, and then he doesn't just die on the cross, he empowers us and he gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us in the words of life. But this is us here, and we're going, what do we do? Honestly, what do we do? How do we decipher what is life and what is death? And God says he'll give us the Holy Spirit. But my question is this, how often do we listen to it? I want to show you this. I want to read this something to you. There's this thing called effective conditioning. Effective conditioning, these psychologists figured this out, and they actually looked at marketing. And I want to tell you a little story. They looked at marketing, and they had these two pens. And they said they believed that people were effectively conditioned into making choices. And so they had these two pens, and one was clearly better than the other. It had far better features, it worked better, and all this kind of stuff. It was clearly better than the other pen. And the other pen was worse off. And they had one group of people who came in, and they gave them the sheets, the facts, of what was better, which pen was better. And all the people that looked at the facts, they chose the better pen. But then what they did with the second group is they gave them the exact same pens, the exact same facts. But then what they did is they sat them down and they played like some displays, some not ads. They were not ads. These were images of feelings. Feelings like good feelings, like things that make us feel good about ourselves. When we see color, what do we think? We think good. We think lovely things. Like if you think about advertising, it's portraying images of good feelings to us. And what they did is they took this other pen and they showed these feelings images that invoked feeling from people, and then they just had the brand of the worst pen attached to those. And what did the educated people do? They made their decision based off of feelings rather than the evidence. Guys, this is seriously true. It's interesting. They said this at the end of the report. They said the problem is that we allow advertisers, and I'm saying if we allow advertisers to do this, guys, we're in the middle of a twisted and crooked generation. We have allowed our minds to be shaped by the world. We have. And we are going to be shaped by the world. And in the midst of that, though, God is giving us words of life to shape our lives by. But we've got to recognize, hang on a second, that is totally not of Jesus. That is not of the gospel. Listen to what they said at the end of this report. The problem is we allowed advertisers to have access to our mental world. They have paid the opportunity to slip information to us about what feels good. The information ultimately affects the way we make choices, whether we know it or not. The information, guys, I'm serious. Maybe I'm on my own here, but I get up in the morning and I encounter this twisted and broken world. And the things that I encounter shape my decisions, whether or not I know it. And only when I take a step back and say, hang on a second, I need to completely rethink what I do in my life with social media. I need to completely rethink how I live in a relationship with Demi. I need to completely rethink how I live it, what my career is. I need to completely rethink the relationships and the friends and the people that are influencing my life. I need to rethink, because these things are happening whether we know it or not. I walked around before I went into that chiropractor having absolutely no idea that my spine was out of whack. But now I walk around knowing my spine is out of whack, and you would say that I'm a pretty foolish man if I don't do something about it. I don't care if it's chiropractor or physio, the evidence says that my spine isn't level or balanced or hips aren't balanced. So the question is now, what am I going to do about that? We live in a world that is shaping our lives. And Paul talks about this in Romans. He says, man, I don't do the things I want to do. And I actually find myself doing the things that my spirit hates. Because Paul is living amidst a crooked and twisted generation. So what do we do? How do we get through this? This kind of makes sense when Paul goes, man, I just want to go and be with Jesus. Far, I'm over this. But he says, for me to die is gain, but for me to live is Christ. Because we're called to be here, to shine as lights, to show a difference. And not just a difference in morality or a difference in legalism. No, 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 no. We're called to actually show the truth, to give light so that people can see where they're going. They can make better decisions. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a verse that is the hallmark of where we will go as young adults for the next few months. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Someone want to read that out? Anyone? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. That's it. That's awesome. So guys, he starts this and he says, our weapons of warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power. And I see this. It's almost like us going, hang on a second, you're not going to affect me. I'm totally going to affect you. And it's like, we're going, no, we'll fight you with us. We'll fight death and flesh with flesh, and we'll outsmart you. And Paul says, no, you've absolutely got no leg to stand on. But he says, we don't fight flesh with flesh. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have the divine power to destroy strongholds. Now, this word strongholds is really interesting because it's a Greek word, okuroma. And listen to this. It's figuratively a false argument in which a person seeks shelter to escape reality. People are not actually seeing reality because they're escaping reality by listening to the words of death. How often do you think the enemy wants people to actually see what is real is real? If he wanted them to see it, he wouldn't have asked them that question in the beginning at the garden. People are actually escaping reality and they're in these strongholds. But I believe the saddest part is they don't know it. They don't know it because they haven't encountered the truth of Jesus. They haven't encountered the truth of the gospel. There's so many stories of people who, when they encounter the truth of the gospel, Scotty's one of them. He encounters the truth. He's like, far out. I need that. I need that. I crave that. I need it. I believe that this world is seeking for truth. If you think about it, what the world is constantly told is that you need more. They're constantly told it. Through marketing, through absolutely everything that they experience, you need more. I came home from Brisbane the other day and I took a photo of a billboard and it said, make change happen. And I was like, okay, can we make change happen? Honestly, these are just thoughts that we see and we're like, I can totally make change happen. I can totally change myself. The gospel says, no, you can't. Only Christ can change you. Guys, we've got to rethink absolutely everything. But not in a weird sort of way. In a real truth way. And he says here, we destroy these arguments, these lofty opinions that are raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, I was thinking about this taking thoughts captive. And I was like, how do we do that? We've got to look at, firstly, what our thoughts are. We've got to look at what are we actually thinking. We've got to look at what are we absorbed in. And we are absorbed in this world that is crooked and twisted. And we've got to take those thoughts and we've got to take them captive to the obedience of Christ. We've got to look at those thoughts through the lens of the words of life. And only then will we be able to see truth. And I felt like the Lord kind of gave me this analogy. And if you think about a solar eclipse, where things pass in front of the sun, a moon passes in front of the sun. And if you think about a solar eclipse, and if you look at the solar eclipse with the naked eye, you'll damage your retina. You won't actually be able to see. And it'll damage your eyesight. And you won't actually be able to see what's happening up there. But what are we taught to do? We're taught to look at a solar eclipse through a filter, hey. And the amazing thing about the filter is it protects our eyes. It protects our life, but it also allows us to see the truth of what's happening. It allows us to see what's actually going on. And guys, this is what I look at when I see this, that we are shaped by words of death, and God is wanting to shape our life by His words. But we've actually got to apply those words of life. We've got to apply this gospel filter over the world that we live in. We've got to rethink what we think about. We've got to rethink what we see, what is actually coming against us. Because we can't say that we're not going to be shaped by the world. We're kidding ourselves. We are shaped by the world. Just this today, it was funny. I had a chat with someone and they, one of their friends is getting married and they're young. And this person's a Christian and they're like, why are they getting married? They shouldn't be getting married. They're too young. And then he's like, wait, hang on a second. Why do I think that? Is that a thought from Jesus? Or is that a thought that I've just absorbed from how the world sees marriage? If you actually look at the Bible, you don't see a lot of waiting time. Seriously. But what we've done is we've actually looked at the world's view of marriage and how the world sees things with that. And we said, oh, that just must make sense. It won't work if you get married too early. And I'm not saying just rush out and get married, but what I'm saying is we've got to actually think about what we are thinking about. We've got to rethink stuff. Romans 12:2 says this, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." How cool is that? God's actually like, hey, you know how I want to transform you? I want to change the way that you think. Because Jesus actually said, you know what? It's not actually what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of a man that defiles him. And what I actually believe is that our thoughts create actions, and our actions are what defile us, not just what we see. If it was what we see, no men could go to the beach. They'd be defiled. But it's the thoughts that they have that defile them, and the actions that they take that defile them. And it's there that Christ wants us to bring this filter into our life and say, hang on a second. Should I lust after that woman, or should I think the Lord, how the Lord loves that person? Can I please, Lord, can you help? Can you take my mind captive? And see, I think sometimes we even stop there, and I sometimes do that. Like, oh, you know, take my mind captive. Okay, I shouldn't lie. No, this isn't saying that. This is like, take your mind captive. What do you think about? How do you see the world? What's your worldview? What's the lens that you actually see this place that we're living in? And God says he wants to change the way that we think. Proverbs 4:23 says, carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life. Jesus wants to change the way that we think. And I believe that as a generation of young people, we need to rethink a heck of a lot of stuff. And like I said, tonight isn't going to be about giving us solutions. It's not. It's going to be about presenting the evidence that says, hey, you know what? It's time to rethink. It's time to rethink absolutely everything. And guys, not in legalism, but in life. To actually be able to see far out. I want to be shaped by the words of life, because God has called me to shine in this wicked and perverse generation. So what do you guys think? What do you think? I asked you to kind of come prepared to throw out some ideas of things that we as a community of believers should begin rethinking. Anyone? Anyone? Dating. Awesome. Oh, far out. Yep. Work. Yep. Careers. Yep. How do you spell careers? Is it double R? I should know. Epic. Money. Finance. Who said that? Humor. I love that. I think I'm pretty sure Tim actually addressed some of this stuff on Sunday night in a pretty heavy way. And if you weren't there, listen to that podcast. Guys, we've got to actually rethink what we talk about. We got to rethink what we talk about, not just when women are present or when Tim's present or when leaders are present. We got to rethink what we talk about, because that's what Jesus has called us to do, to be lights and to show the truth. What else? Pardon? Marriage. TV, church, far out, this is epic, music, friends, relationships. Can I say relationships? Oh, friends, let's do friends, because we've got dating. Oh my gosh. Yes, we do. Consumerism. Fashion, we've got. Any other ones? Pardon? Dreams. I love that. Desires. Good. Is that cool to say desires? No? Okay, dreams. Bad humor. Geordie will be actually leading the one on humor. What else? Time. Come on. No, don't stop. That's time. Okay. Well, that's another thing that we need to rethink. What is time with God? So we'll put that down. Incident? Internet. I thought you were like saying incense. I was like, yeah, totally. Andy Lister won't be liking that. He rocks the incense. All right, what else? Health. Pardon? Body image. Okay. Is anyone like getting really excited? Like, seriously? Because you know what? You know what this is showing me? I mean, I came up with 4 or 5. Yeah. But you know what this is showing me? And I want to ask a really probing question. How often do we think about what Jesus thinks about that stuff? Because we're actually told what the world thinks about it every single day that we live. And how often do we actually stop and think about what Jesus says about that stuff? How heavy is that, hey? And guys, please don't hear that this is out of a heart of legalism to control. Because you know what? We already are controlled. Jesus says you're a slave. You're an absolute slave to the crooked and twisted generation, but I have come to set you free. I've come to actually show you how I see desires, how I see my church, how I see marriage, how I see fashion, how I see dating. I guarantee you, every single one of those we will be able to look at by the Word of God. Because you know what? It says that Jesus experienced every temptation that was common to man, and he did not sin. So if we want to look at how should we actually be shaped by the Lord, be shaped by words of life, let's go to Jesus Christ and let's go to his word. Any other ones? Alcohol, for sure. Well, should we even look at gossip? I'm just thinking, that's just a straight up don't gossip. But conversation, I think, is a really good one. You know what the really cool thing is, guys? Other than gossip, all of these things are actually really, really, really awesome. And God actually created us to enjoy these things. How cool is that? Like, God actually put us here and he's like, man, enjoy this stuff. But do it in my name and you will be a light. You will show others how they should enjoy this, how they should enjoy good humor, how they should spend their time. And it's not us telling them how to do it. It's us showing them, shining the light on how to do it. And this isn't going to mean that we're going to have all the answers. I'm not even hoping that happens. What I'm hoping is that we just begin to take a second thought and rethink things. Any others? We got that. Sex. I'm just trying to see where. Let's put that here. Driving? Like driving Miss Daisy, or I'll put it down. Yeah, sport. All right, I'm going to stop us at drugs. And I'm going to get Scotty to come up and tell us why. No, I'm just kidding. No, because of coffee. Coffee, that's all. Oh, mate. Honestly, how good is God, how he's already... Listen to this. Please do not... Please do not leave defeated. Because how good is it when we look at how Jesus has already changed us? And I just look at this and I'm like, far out, Lord, I want you to change me more. Because we ask this question, why us? And it's to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. So let's start asking how we can be more like Jesus in these areas. So how I'm kind of picturing this is going to work is all of us, like, I'll send out, please let me know. I need to obviously get emails. I need to get contact details. And so, I haven't really thought about how it's going to happen, but that's got to happen somehow. But I'm going to put out on Facebook, I'm going to kind of think about a lot of this stuff and put out on Facebook the different categories that we'll break up, because a lot of these actually fit into categories. A lot of these we can group together and start looking at, what does the Word of God teach us about that? What does the Gospel say about that? And in that, I think it's going to be, this is going to be like the most epic exercise for all of us. You know why? Because all of these come up all the time in conversation. Would you agree? And when they do come up in conversation, you'll be able to tell the Gospel. You'll actually be able to talk about Jesus so fluently and so fluidly that you won't even know you're doing it, because you'll have rethought this stuff, not by law-based, but by freedom in Christ-based. Sound good? All right, I'm pumped for this. I really am. I think that if we say we want to follow Jesus, let's actually look at how we can do that in our life and start applying gospel principles to our life. What's the time? Yeah, all right, sweet. I think it's important that we do finish praying for one another, because I think it's important that we pray for one another, continue to be the examples of Christ. And man, God's already going to be showing you this stuff. And it's not like just, hey, I'm just going to teach on this stuff. I want to get others to come and teach on it. And let's discuss it. Let's look at it together. And so when I put those topics out on Facebook, start looking. Start going through the Word of God. You start engaging with how Jesus says you should live your life in those areas. You guys with me on that? And then we'll like talk about it and we'll grow together in the Lord. But I think it's important to break up if we can fit. You can move all the way forward, but to break up into groups and just pray for one another. Pray for one another. We start already rethinking stuff. That we stop, that the Holy Spirit helps us to no longer be affected by the conditioning of the world. Man, I see it so much. I live across the street from a bar. And I'm like, man, these guys don't even know what they're doing. Seriously. Stephen's getting stoned. He goes, Father, forgive him. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. It's time that Jesus shows them what they're doing, and he wants to use us. Sound good?